So let us arrive, welcome everyone, and you guys can meditate. I'll let everybody in. Let's just relax and arrive and notice and be here. Let's say hello to ourselves first. Closing your eyes if it feels right. If not, bringing your gaze down, arriving. Breathing, relaxing, releasing. And just allowing whatever is here be here. Noticing all the sensations. Noticing any emotion, sadness, madness, gladness, all the nesses are welcomed. Relaxing into this moment and surrendering to what is. And noticing what is present. What sensation, what feelings, what questions? We're going to go with a scenario here. We're just playing. Let's say that everything that is here is supposed to be here for us, for our knowing, for our growth, for our well-being. Every tiny detail. Let's say all is well, even though our mind may have a different interpretation. Let's imagine what's happening in us, for us, around us is exactly the medicine we need. Some medicine are full of goodies, smell good and taste good, and some of them smell nasty, but all good for us. With that lens of all as well, I want you to gently look at what's present. And look at what's going on. Pick the most available story that is running in your mind. Add the filter of all is well happening for me. This is helping me. And see how you see it differently. Your job now, your mind's job, is to find the reason it's good for you. Why is this good for me? Take your time. There is no rush. Whether or not you find an answer, the first thing that happens, your body relaxes. The answer is irrelevant. The state that you go into is very relevant. Our frightened mind, left to its own, looks for danger. Our mind, with a very clear direction from us, goes into a specific answer and task. So what we just did, we shifted probably from survival to attention. And took charge of the goings on inside of us. With no question, we get what's wrong. With the question of find out how and why this is good for me, we shift our state of being. So now I want to invite you to pick a very specific experience and apply this formula to. Let's say there is a job that I want, or there is a health state that I'm seeking, or I want someone to do something and they're not doing it. Ask yourself, bring the question to your awareness and ask yourself, if this is happening for me and if this is for my growth, and my well-being. Why is this happening? What's in it for me that I haven't gotten before? Remembering that what helps us to change our state from fear to choice and take the command of our mind is the pause and purposeful questioning. So gently and slowly bring your attention back to your body. And when you're ready, come back to the room and let us say hello. Hello, hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hi. Hi, Minu.
Good morning.
Good morning, Clyde. Hi, good to see you. I like your space-like glasses.
The reason I had cataract surgery, actually.
Oh, wow. Recently?
Well, last month. So I won't always be wearing these, but it's interesting because the lenses that they put in, it's not a brand new technology. It's been around for probably 6 or 7 years, but they can adjust the prescription after the procedure. So I've gone in for a couple of there are these light delivery treatments where you just look in this little machine for like 90 seconds. They check you, the prescription in your eyes, and then they figure out where they want to take it to, and they plug in this algorithm and you get this light delivery treatment, and then 24 hours later, all of a sudden, it's more clear. But because it's so sensitive, these lenses are so sensitive to light, I have to wear dark glasses outside, and I have to wear these inside, because even light coming in from the outside, technically, ultraviolet light. So I've gotten mixed comments on these. I kind of think I look like one of those like basketball players that has this big. You know, and when I wear the dark ones, I look like Roy Orbison. I don't know if you guys are old enough to remember Roy Orbison.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, so.
You look cool to me, so
yeah.
Looks good.
And what's interesting is I've worn glasses my whole life since I was a little kid, and except for close vision, I won't even have to wear them anymore. But I'm still wearing these because there's light coming in, and it feels foreign to me to not have glasses on. I've had them my whole life, you know. So anyway,
Wow.
but yeah, it's good to be back. It's good to be seen.
Yes. Well, we're seeing you, and it's good to see that you're going to see better. So that's good. All right. Hello, Sheila and Mark. Hello, Jennifer. Hello. Hello, Leila. Hi, Nikki, Minu, Chris. Welcome. Good to see you all. Been a while. Hi. So, who wants to share first and bring us up to date with their life and practice and anything else that is good for the rest of us to know? We know that Chris just lost a beloved dog of 15 years. So, we hold the space for you, Chris. I met that dog recently, actually. And do you want to tell us about him?
Yeah, good morning. It's
Good
good to see
morning.
everyone. I'm still pretty raw from the loss.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was my first dog, and I remember telling myself I would never be a pet owner. What a jerk. but thankfully, Marcy convinced me that the best thing we could do is get a Boston Terrier, and he changed my life. He really just, I was telling Mitra, he increased my capacity to love. He took all my worries away. Every day I would open the front door, taught me how to be present. And I really enjoyed the practice because in the beginning, I was like, he's still teaching me. He's teaching me how to grieve.
Yeah, there's an art in that. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, the loss is pretty deep. So I'm just trying to be trying to take it slow and just allow myself to feel all the feelings that are coming up, to just sit with them, feel them, and look at them with curiosity. What am I learning? But you know, I'm very thankful for my practice because there were so many moments when I was just able to like sit with him and hold him, and it was enough. I was just completely 100% present with him for many years, many times. And I know his sweet energy is still with me, and it will always be. But wow, I mean, just the freshness of grief is it's just heart-wrenching. But I'm just being with it, not trying to get rid of it. I'm just going to ride it out and honor him along the way. So, thank you.
Thank you. I heard three main key words that you said. One was love, two was presence, and three was learning how to grieve. Just remember those because there's going to be a lot of losses. More and more. Not, I don't mean personal for you, but like we're going to lose the things that we relied on in life, and we need to be prepared to just on our feet for the next one, because I don't need to give you that news. You can see things are changing at the speed of light, and more things are changing at the speed of light. So it's more and it's faster. So grieving, it may be like little grieving, but we need to do a lot of grieving because even difficult things are hard to let go of. Look at addiction. if I'm, I don't know, addicted to nicotine or alcohol, it's hard to let it go. It doesn't matter whether it's good for me or not. It's hard. So it one of the lessons that we're learning is to let go, which we call grieving. And I think, I mean, the three lessons are just like, if we just do the three that you mentioned, we'll be golden, you know. Learn how to go deeper with our love, be more present, and also learn to let go. Because love never goes away.
It also, I, you know, before he took a turn for the worse on Sunday, and we realized then that we needed to say goodbye, I had a head filled with agenda. And it evaporated all of that agenda, all of those important things, all those meaningful things, all those things that I needed to do. It just evaporated. And it gives me an opportunity to look back and go, what, you know, look at what the mind prioritizes just to keep itself busy, you know, to keep myself feeling like there's permanence. You know, and then here it is. I mean, here's a, I'm face to face with impermanence and seeing very clearly that the greatest lesson of impermanence is just to appreciate this moment.
So
So yeah,
what was
there's
important before last Sunday and what is important this Sunday, they're different.
totally different.
Yeah. Fascinating. So important is what we give importance to. Important is not important in its nature, huh? That's an interesting thing to look at. That I believe, or my mind most of the time believes this is important otherwise. Yeah. Thank you, Chris. May your grieving bring more love and presence for you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Layla.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for having us here, and I'm very excited to be here. For me, we had a really bad accident, and 3 weeks ago, with all of us family in the car, kids, and my little one was the first side of the door. The main impact was from my little one side, but we are very fortunate and lucky that we are all survive and a very minor injury, not injury, even like therapy that we have to take for both sides, for me and my husband, but kids completely healthy and happy. And nothing more grateful I can be in this point. But it was a huge and deep journey for sure, dealing with the trauma that, especially for my two kids and questions and things that moment and their. It has so much lessons, I'm sure. And one of the main, as Mitra was referring to, attachment. That was the first question for my son, about the car, because our car got totaled. And that was the only car we had. And they were very sad, and they see the car was crashed and damaged severely. So they keep asking me, Mom, what happened to our car? Can we have it back? And we have a different new car, and they still want the other one. That's exactly the same lesson you're referring to. And I'm saying to them that nothing is permanent in this world. Sometimes you can fix things and reuse them. But sometimes it's not, and but his space is not safe. That they wanted to make sure the car is happy. That's so amazing for me. They have versus our car. It's like you leave your head behind or something, especially for my little one. And
Is Carl happy?
Yes. Where is he? Are we left him alone in the street? Because that's how we left the paramedic took us to the hospital. And there were three more pedestrian that hit that. So it's a total of seven of us were transferred to hospital. But the point is, at that moment, I don't know if the power that I got from universe, it was insane, because even though I was right in the middle of that crisis, I was playing this role as this is a game, so they don't traumatize for both sons that were screaming at the beginning when they were in the car. And then when we left and I realized, okay, it's not as bad as I thought. Everybody are safe, even the people who were injured on the pedestrians, on the one of them were on the floor bleeding, but it wasn't shown at least severe. So anyhow, so my son was trying to say what's happening, and I was saying this is they put us in this situation, and it's okay. This is a game. I had to do this for him to don't feel this is something very real and serious is happening at the beginning. And then when paramedic came, I asked them, I said, oh, they're here to help every one of us. So see how kind they are. Let's do high five, and then we make this as a okay, where we work, where they have taken us. And so there's so much changes in matter of in less than the 10 minutes, right? So much for a kid to handle. So I had this it's like I was not sad, I was not shocked. It was very strange. I was like, okay, this is the situation. As soon as I see the Nadia has died or anything, and I said, okay, perfect, we're good. That's what it matters. Then we went to hospital and we start like, they continue, the game has continued, and from that, he doesn't have any issue. He never went back asking question about that scene. But the main problem for him was what happened to our car. We left them alone. And that's where teaching lessons and things that for them it was a little different, and for me especially. And the journey of learning in this huge accident is just the beginning, let me tell you that. And there's so much things happen after, which those are the side effect of I would not side effect, but there's still so many things that different people reacted differently. Some people trying to help you with their anxiety. Look, oh my God, as soon as I share this story, because we have a new car, everybody say, oh, beautiful car. And then obviously you automatically say about what happened, even though I don't want it, because you keep repeating the pain and this bad and the trauma to yourself. I have to be strong and the same, especially when you see people's features, face, the way they look, and as if it happened for them, or they were so much worried this happened for them today, you know? So most of people, I can feel that this brings another anxiety that I don't have. I really don't have that anxiety because I've been there and I'm safe. But for them who are worrying on, I'm worried this happened for me too. Like that kind of awareness you see people all get, right? So I learned that I should try to not shit as much as possible, and especially when I'm around my kids. So I want to close the sharing and let you just share the stage with the rest of the team.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. And yes, you're right. There's a statement they say, my pain killed my friend. Have you ever heard that? That I'm still here, but it killed my friend, because sometimes people take it too seriously. No, more seriously than us. And you're right. It's the identification with the pain that is not helpful for them or for you. But I wanted to say something about what your children say. In a way, they're giving consciousness to the car. I know it sounds like, a game, but they're understanding something that maybe we don't understand. that everything has consciousness, including a car. And I think that's one of the things, that's one of the changes that we probably will face soon, that all those things that we saw in cartoons, remember that, the trees started talking and plants started to dance, and then things had like a consciousness that we related to. I mean, every cartoon has something like this that looks unreal. In a way, when we connect to the consciousness level of things, we realize that everything, including the car that you lost, has consciousness in a way. And remember, there was a time that we thought animals are just animals. We said animal as if like it's a lesser thing. And now, through connection that we have made, through actually domestication that we have done to the animals, we now connect to them exactly what Chris was sharing, as if it's a person, right? So that was the shift that happened. We realized that animals also have consciousness and can experience and give love. Next step is everything has consciousness. Trees have consciousness. And so from animals, we go to plants. From plants to go, we go to things, which a car is a thing. And we understand that everything has consciousness, everything that is there, so-called alive or not. They have consciousness. So maybe they, I mean, their question is so beautiful. What happened to the car? Is the car happy? I mean, I got shivers when you said that. Is the car happy? I mean, it takes a high consciousness to care about the well-being. They didn't say we miss it, we want our car back so that you can drive it, or they didn't say that alone. They said, is the car happy? That's a very high, elevated question to ask if you think about it. You care, first of all, you think that it has a consciousness, and then your concern is not about your possession, it's about their well-being. Isn't that the ultimate aspect of love? If I loved my children that way, I would be better off as a mother. Then it's not like, did they call me? Are they happy? That's an amazing consciousness. We should learn so much from these kids. I'm not sure. But I want to also acknowledge that was amazing that you turned it into a game. It was amazing. I mean, it takes a lot of presence for a parent to do that, to you probably untraumatized a huge traumatizing experience for them. So just wanted to say this to that.
Thank you so much. Thank you for giving me this. I needed this wording because only me know it and nobody else feel that. And this is very valuable for me, Mitra June.
Yeah, it is. It is very important. I mean, it takes a real love of a parent to be able in the moment overcome their own trauma and get to a place. This is pure love in action. I mean, all of these, I'm holding the space for these so-called seemingly sad stories that we so far heard, Chris about the loss of his dog and Layla about the accident that she and her family experienced. Both of them, there's a sadness that we're holding, but there's also so much richness that I'm hearing. And that's exactly what I was asking in the meditation of you. Just looking for something beyond the, oh, I'm so sorry, and that's horrible. And of course it is horrible. We know that at the physical level, but there's something at the deeper level that is so rich and so life-giving that it's amazing. It's really amazing. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Who wants to go next?
I can go. I can go. Because you said the first two stories, the first two shares being rather sad. And so it occurred to me that I might be able to bring a little uplifting sensibility to this. And actually, it comes from the eyes. It comes from the eyes. And it's this idea that when we lose clarity, it happens so gradually and so slowly that oftentimes we don't realize that it's slipping away from us. And so, like with the eyesight, you know, it's my eyes haven't been great for a while, for a couple of years. And I remember, like, if I would be driving and I would cover one eye, the one that was the better eye, everything was totally blurred out of the other eye. I mean, like literally all blurred. And then even when I covered that one and looked out of the quote good eye, it wasn't great. But I mean, you know, driving is so intuitive for many of us that it's sort of like we manage because it becomes more spatial, you know. But then when I had the cataract surgery, because cataracts really is just like your lenses get kind of foggy and you know, and then things are like, you know, maybe a little brown haze or a yellow haze. And so I had the surgeries a week apart. And it was quite interesting to me because the first eye that was done was the worst of the two. And I remember sitting in my dining room in that in between one day, in that in between week between the two surgeries, and just looking out my picture window at this beautiful purple crepe myrtle tree. And I covered the eye that had yet to have the surgery, and I was looking out of the eye that had had the procedure, and I really saw how vivid and bright this purple was. And then I covered that eye and I looked at that same plant through the eye that had not yet had the surgery, and it was like this dull red, you know. And even when I would look at the sky, out of only the eye that was still waiting for surgery, it would be like brown, like when we have wildfires. And when I would look out of it just with a good eye, it was like this bright, brilliant blue sky. And so it's this idea. And then, of course, fortunately, when this a week later, when the second eye was done, everything was vivid purple. The sky was beautiful blue. But just in that interim period, and you realize how dramatically different we see things, whether it's like concretely through visual or whether it's how we sense things through the heart, and how this cloudiness and this lack of clarity can come upon us so gradually that we don't even realize that we're slipping. You know, we're losing our connection. And it's just so that was kind of, not to be funny, but that's kind of eye-opening. You know? And so, and now everything is just brighter, you know, because that's the other thing. It's not that the colors become more vivid, but it's almost like somebody just turned the light up a little stronger, a little brighter. And so what a gift you start to realize some of these things are that we just often, you know, we just kind of take for granted and we don't really realize when we're losing touch with them. So it's a way to just reconnect. So yeah, so to me that was it was quite uplifting. It was more than just, you know, having an eye procedure. It was like kind of like looking at life again, like maybe we do when we're younger, more curiosity, more receptivity, and seeing the tiny little details, like just my little cat Peanut sitting on my lap, and sort of the different striations, very sharp, and the different colors in her fur. And it was like, you know, it was like a new world was just gifted to me. And so that's why when Chris was sharing, it really touched my heart, because I know how present animals can help us to feel. And we need to never lose touch with all of that. Everything is in our life for a reason. And I loved in your meditation when you were saying, in fact, I think I wrote it down, find out why this moment is good for me. You know, and that's a really valuable question I think we can ask ourselves, you know, in any moment. It's like, why is this moment good for me? And what I kind of tapped into was because in this moment, nothing is being asked of me. There's nothing that I have to do. I just have to be here. I have to be present. I have to notice, be aware. And it's like it doesn't have to be any different way. The way that it is, you know, this is all that we really need. And we need to appreciate it while it's here, as simple as it might seem, because in the next moment, obviously, it's gone, you know. New breath, new moment. And so yeah, that I just think so I'm very grateful just to even because I haven't sat with you guys for a long time. I've been around, not far, but I've been around. So it's just really amazing to just reconnect and to just sort of like a door is being opened, you know, to really look into the heart again. So thank you, Mitra. Thank you all for that.
Thank you. I was thinking as you were talking, Clyde, that we accumulate filters in life. So we start not, so I mean symbolically I'm talking about, not medically. And then we can't see clearly. We see this vivid, beautiful color as a dull red. So I wonder, where have I accumulated and covered up the beauties around me? Simple beauty as a tree or a plant or a flower, and either I don't see it, or when I see it cloudy and dull, a great word you used. So I understand that the surgery can do that, but I'm also thinking, where can I energetically do that? Where can I remove these lenses that I have collected? It's like people are this and people are that, and I'm this and I'm that, and life is this and life is that. And then I don't see the beauty. I don't see what, I don't know, Layla's children see. I don't see that. They see it like with no lens, but I've collected it. And it's funny that when we get older, we need the surgery usually. So it's the collection of not seeing the love that Chris's dog could feel and see with no hesitation. But I have to try to see it. I have to change my questions to see it. And that's a beautiful gift. Thank you, Clyde. That every share brings a beautiful gift for us. Thank you. Let's see who wants to share next. I can share next, actually. We haven't seen each other for a while. So a lot has happened. And since last time we met, and my lesson, my personal lesson has been patience. It's been really amazing how patience has played a role in my life in past month or so. My mother fell down and hurt her hip, which basically meant she needed 24/7 care. And I thought about it long, and I decided to be the caregiver. And it's, I understand why nature doesn't let us have children in older age, because it's hard to wake up at night and care for someone when they want to go to the bathroom and things like that. But it also brought a gift to me, as it always does, that a sense of letting go of my deadlines, interesting word, deadlines, which takes away life. And it's been very helpful questioning, do I really need to do that? Like when in the rush and say, I have to do this, then I stop and I think, do I? So I've been going slower and I've been going deeper. And it's been the most amazing gift, actually. Everybody felt very uncomfortable, everybody in the family, for me to see that I took on that role. But it was a gift that was very, very timely for me. My body realized that it can't go as fast as I was going. And it took stopping to tell me how fast I can go. Because when you're going, you go, you're on a roll, so to speak, and then you drop. and then it's too late. But when you stop, you notice that there are things that you need to pay attention to. So when I guide a meditation for a more sort of a novice class, they always say, I felt sad when I meditated. The sadness is there, they just not noticing it because it's just they're so in a rush. Meditation doesn't bring sadness. Meditation doesn't bring pain to the body. Meditation allows you to notice the sadness in your heart and the pain in your body. And I think I got that. And I realized how much, and I know I say that, but I felt it, I experienced it, how much nothingness is worthy. I allocated the whole day to a long bathing of mom, like because it's a ceremony. And I said, okay, I'll clear the day. And all I'm doing is just attending to this one task. You don't know how almost funny to decide to do that is because I have clients waiting. I have a waiting list now for new clients. I had on that day a corporate client saying, I am in LA and I want to have a whole day. I wanted to book the whole day with me, which financially meant a lot. I told my mom, this is the most expensive bathing you've ever will have. She said, how's that? I said, I let go of $20,000 to do this, but you know what? I would go of $200,000 because it was so worth it. So all of these are happening, and I'm being the caregiver. And I'm thinking I'm doing a favor to my mom, right? And in that space of being present to her and making sure she doesn't fall, and I cut her hair. I became a hairdresser. I did her eyebrows. I did the whole service, full service spa. Nothing that I knew what to do, but I did it anyways. And all the ideas that I've been wanting to think about, I was allocating time, they all came. It became the richest day of the month for me. I came up because UCLA had been asking me to do a class. I haven't had time, honestly, to even think about it, let alone like decide on the topic and write the topic and all of that. 10 minutes it took me. 10 minutes. I, in between, you know, just cleaning my hand and waiting, I just wrote down the text. I came up with a date, couldn't figure out the dates because from October to November, there are a lot of holidays. They want me to do a 6-week course. It couldn't fit. Came up with an amazing idea that we do 5 weeks and then we'll meet 2 weeks later when they have implemented and they can bring their questions in early December. Never thought about that option. But what I want to tell you is when we give ourselves that space, so patience, pause, whatever you want to call it, any of the P's, it really opens up the door. So we think faster is better. We think more is better. And sometimes better is just better. And that could be slower. That could be pauseful. That could be attending to something completely different. And now when I do it, I remember my teacher's words. It's amazing. When you don't have the consciousness, it just goes right by you. But when the consciousness is there, I remember a teaching from probably 30 years ago that my teacher told me that. Said, when you can't solve one problem, go attend to the very, very, very small one. I said, what does that mean? Said, like, you want to decide where to live in the world? Just go and clean one drawer in your bathroom. I thought, like, oh, that's not a very enlightened advice. Apparently, it is. So I gave you only the small piece of what came to me. Something bigger came to me of the direction and understanding of some part of my life that I didn't have understanding about. All of these happened to a day that I took off and so-called gifted to my mom that became the biggest gift to me. So that's my sharing. And I've applied the same patience to many things. I don't have the rush to opine, especially at gatherings. I don't have the urge to make things happen. I'll do my best, and if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, say, ah, next. I really am doing it. I've been wanting to do it, but I'm really doing it. A lot of patience with my book, which has hit its own life. I was going to rush it and meet another deadline, and it's amazing how it has improved and it has become what it wants to become. And I'm thinking, who said that it has to come out in this day or that day, when the substance is improving, when the substance is really getting to a better place? So it's from eating to writing a book to being in service to earning a living. All of these have been just taking their own time, and I've been patient with them. And life is so much easier. So that's my share. Thank you. Who's going to share next? Go ahead.
I can share. So, over the past month and a half, I've had a huge spike in anxiety, probably because of a lot of things happening in the world and personal life and all of that. And it has caused a lot of physical symptoms that are very scary that I didn't know what was going on. So, a lot of doctor's appointments. But now, since I know that it's anxiety and it's just being hypersensitive and having that frightened mind drive a lot of this, it's given me a chance to take a pause, like you had said, and to reflect on what I'm actually doing and what I can do to change and feel better. And so it's a lot of self-help books and adjusting my life in ways I didn't think I would, like a TV show that I would watch before and I enjoyed. Now I'm like, oh no, that's like I don't enjoy this so much. Like, let's change that and try something else. So it's these little shifts that I'm noticing, and like finding more joy in things has been nice too, like because I've been able to like put some of the hard stuff to the side and just focus on being present. I think it's helped a lot. So it's a journey, and I'm gonna, continue to heal from it. But yeah, being faced with some of those scary things forced me to be in the present moment. So at least I'm grateful for that.
Wow, I'm grateful that you're there. Yeah, this television, it's an interesting name, huh? Tell a vision. They tell you a vision that is not probably good for you. And then they offer you a program. They program you. I mean, you got to understand, these words have like a lot of wisdom in them. And then what do? They have channels. They channel sometimes to darkness and offer you whatever they offer you. And they're broadcasting, they spell a cast in a broad way. Isn't that fascinating? That little box has so much in it that may not be good for us, you know? And then people wonder, they're like, why? What do you have against television? I said, I have my own vision and I want to program my own mind. And I do not like things being cast on me. I like to cast a spell myself. So, yeah, there's a lot in that television broadcasting, programming, channeling. And my channel, hopefully, is a straight to the source. So, yeah, as long as you choose what you're watching, a lot of our anxiety is coming from the anxiety, just like what Leila was saying, that when the anxiety is shared, the person who's hearing it sometimes takes it much, much more difficult than the person who's experiencing it. They say that, like, when we watch the news about, let's say, a war zone or earthquake that is happening somewhere, when you're in it, and believe me, I've been in it, so I know, it's you have access to powers that people don't have as they're sitting in their home watching it. So that accessibility here for me, and that lack of accessibility for you just watching it are not a good match because you're looking at my problems with your capacity, not the capacity that I developed, like Layla developed when she knew what the right thing is for her children. So if you sit here and you ask me a question, what's the best thing to do when you're in a huge accident and your car is totaled and you've got two young children in the car? So I'm, ooh, my back just went up, but she knew exactly what to do. This is what we're not connecting to. So there are two lessons in this that I'm sharing. One is that when we are in it, we know what to do. So let go of the anxiety because when you're over planning, Jennifer, you are looking at what would I do when in 5 years' time or 5 days' time or 5 hours' time, such and such happen. First of all, you know it's illusionary and may not happen. But let's say, no, Mitra, you don't know. It will happen. And people tell me that. Okay, if it happens, I will have the access. We are self-contained technologies. We haven't accessed our full capacity yet. It is amazing what we can do. I mean, we all have heard the story of the mother who picked up a, I think it's 6-wheel or 8-wheel trailer when her child was underneath it. Google that, you'll see it. That's the physical ability. But I'm talking about energetic abilities that we have never, ever discovered. There's an old Persian story that there was a time that when people were illiterate, there was a place they would go to and have them write their letters for them. It was by Ministry of Education. So literate people would be sitting there, they would charge, and illiterate people would write the letter for them to send it to their loved ones. And the story goes, was that clear what I just said? So I can't write and read, but I want to send a letter to you. So I go to this place, pay $1, and this guy who's sitting there or woman writes my letter for me. I say it orally and they write it. So the guy goes to this place and says, I want to write a letter to my mother. So the guy says, okay, I'll write it, tell me. And then they start telling the story that this happened, this happened. And then at the end of it, he says, it's okay. It doesn't matter. Here's your money. I don't want the letter. And he says, why? He says, I've never realized how unfortunate I am until I started telling my mother the story of what has happened to me. I'm going to go and attend to my life. But it's a funny story, but it's not funny. It's just like you understand how much capacity you have. He didn't realize it because he was dealing with it at a higher capacity as it was happening. But when he's telling the story, exactly like Layla's story, people look at it and they freak out. Oh my God, what if it happens to me? I cannot handle that. So really what I'm saying is anxiety is the worst way of spending your energy. And it never, ever helps anyone. There might be a little message in it. Okay, maybe I need to do a little bit better. Okay, like if you're going for exam and you have anxiety, maybe you haven't studied enough, but that would be 20% of it that there is some protein there for you. 80% of it is just complete waste of energy that has never ever helped anyone and doesn't look like it's going to help anyone in coming years. So thank you, Jennifer. Ooh, happening a lot in our lives, huh? And they say it's going to go faster and deeper. What the heck? Sorry, I'm not making light of this, but I'm just watching this world and I'm saying the only way to go through it is to go lighter because it's getting heavier and heavier, honestly. There is no other way. We're going to get crashed and crushed by it. We gotta go lighter. Just go lighter and slower. You're gonna fall much, much softer or not fall at all. Come on, Sheila and Mark, you're not gonna not share anything. You've come back, you changed countries. You want to just sit there and look at us?
I was actually going to ask you if you'd like to expound a little bit on the lightness.
Sure.
Yeah.
So when we look at the events of life, and as I said, it's going to go faster and harder. We can look at it exactly what Clyde was saying with the different lens. There too, and that's why we've got two eyes, actually. The duality of that is available to us, it's very interesting. I can exaggerate it. It's amazing how relevant all the stories today were, as much as they sounded irrelevant to each other. So what Layla was saying, something harsh happened, and I took it lightly because of my children, right? That's one option. What Clyde was saying is the way I saw it. Both are saying the same thing, right? And those two options, the duality of this realm, is accessible to us. I can see the events, witness or experience the events with the brightness and the playfulness that Clyde and Layla shared with us. Or I can take it to what Layla was saying, other people take it heavier than what it was. So when something happens, it has a level of heaviness, right? So it arrives to us. We can take it up, we can take it lower. The choice is ours. By that, I don't mean to give it enough respect or not. So if I'm listening to the news talking about death and destitution and hunger, I don't mean to say, ah, that's okay. It's not me. That's the very different. There is a knowingness and there is an unknowingness that allows you to go lighter. Sometimes we can go lighter because we don't care and because we don't know better. Sometimes we can go lighter because we know better. We know that the life and the world that we have created, dear Sheila, and this is the life and world we have created, has to come to an end. This is not sustainable. The way it is, it's not sustainable. It is going to destroy everything, including us. And this is the softest way that it can self-destruct. Look at the history. No empire, no harshness, no killing was sustainable. It has to come to an end. So, this is the last stages of that kind of life, asking for its survival. So, it becomes worse. It's like when they go to arrest a criminal, first they hide. Then they try to protect themselves. But if the police goes closer, they start shooting at them because it's their last chance to save themselves. This is harshness trying to save itself. So it's going to get harsh. They're going to shoot at us. And when we know what's happening and we know the end of story, then we can go through it very differently. End of story is that this saturated harshness has to come to an end. And light is next. When I know that story, I look at the harshness and heaviness with different eyes, with bright eyes that Clyde is referring to. And it makes it much softer for me to go through it. It's like a movie. I told you I can't handle difficult movies. And Henry chooses the movies because he's an expert. And he says, Mitra, I assure you it's okay. So I know it's a good ending. So I can sit through it. It's exactly like that because I know nothing bad will happen to these people. It will eventually be okay. So when you know that, or you start knowing that, it allows you to watch the movie, the very harsh movie that is on the screen, on the television of life. Their vision is destruction, is separation, is hatred. It's we're better than you. And it has to come to an end. And there's a happy ending as far as I know, and I don't know much. So I watch it differently. And we have to watch it because we can't not. This is a television we cannot turn off. Life is happening. I can't help but hear what's going on. one way or another. So that's the lightness. It's a lightness with a knowing. Then this is the end of darkness. Scientists tell us, the scientific aspect of astrology tells us the age of this and the age of that. Energetically, I can tell you the unhealthy masculine energy that we talked about in our course, that's what's showing up. And what's coming is the integration of masculine and feminine energy, more of a love and more of effective action. That's what's coming. But at the end of unhealthy masculine, it is doing what it can to survive. But survive, it cannot. That's the lightness that I was referring to.
Thank you. I'm curious if, and this isn't just in the present, not well-formed question necessarily, but when you're with maybe a family member or friend who is very kind of stuck in the harshness, and of course, I'm owning that for myself too, because I'm feeling it. It's my feeling too. But let's say you're just getting bombarded with a lot of harsh statements, or yeah, anyway, something like that. What's a good way to go with that? Because yeah, so
yeah, PP, protection for me, prayer for them. So what do I do? I can tell you literally last Sunday I was with families, a little bit distant, but family members. And boy, oh boy, they weren't even talking about events of the world. They had just come back from Europe. And the statements that they were making was just unbelievable, that this country is so lucky because they protected themselves from outsiders. That's why we enjoyed our trip to this. And they are an outsider themselves. Okay. So that's very interesting to hear that. So I'm like going to a place, okay, no, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to talk about salad. But nope, it's going deeper and deeper. They're not stopping. And at last, I just put my hand on my heart and I said, I really, really would like to ask you for a favor. And they stopped. And this is a newly married couple, are very careful with them in front of their spouse and partner and all of that. And I said, what? I said, this talk is really draining my energy. May I ask you to change the subject? But they wouldn't let it go. They said, how is it draining your energy? I was talking about a nice country in Europe. I said, it's draining my energy nevertheless. So they wouldn't let it go. I said, so would you like to know why? And they said, yes. I said, this is not for the sake of discussion and argument. I'm just informing you. And after that, I stopped talking about it. And I hope you do too. And this is at my house. So I'm very careful about this. So they said, what? I said, when you talk about people as if they're intruders and the reason this country is good because they close their doors, first of all, I want to assure you that's incorrect. That country I researched and they did not close their door. Secondly, if there are intruders, you are intruders and I'm intruders and my mother is intruder and your parents are intruders because we're living where we weren't born. So we are all intruders. So that really goes to my heart and it's disrespect to everybody that went to another country and to humanity, that there's a superior culture and superior country that needs to be protected from all intruders, which is basically us sitting at a table. And they went quiet and I said, was that enough? They said, yes. They were very quiet for the rest of the lunch and they left early. And I am okay with that. If I don't see them ever again, I'm okay. But it's not with harshness. It's not like, God damn it, go and don't come back. It's not that. It's like our energies obviously don't match. I don't understand blood. I never understood blood. They're my blood. It's like, okay, so may this blood never comes back close to my blood. I'm okay. So protection. I really had to go to protection because I found myself just like really activated by what they were saying. And then what did I do for them? I truly was able to go and pray for them to open up because that's a harsh way of living. Imagine walking on the street thinking, oh, these people are not good, or those people are not like at my level. It's very, very hard. So I prayed that their heart will open. And immediately when I went to the prayer, they left my awareness until now. I haven't thought about them until you asked. So, protection of me, prayer for them, no conversion. I do not expect them to be enlightened and go home and say Mitra was so correct and I should change. Look, no, that's not my, I'm not a missionary and it may never ever happen. Oh, it may happen 30 years ago when I just said my teacher's sayings came to me 30 years later. Maybe 30 years later when I'm not here, he will say, you know, God bless Mitra. She said this. It's if she does, if he doesn't, that's fine too. So that's what we need to do, because if we go into arguments and wanting to enlighten where we are in the light place, others, our light goes off because their energy, which is heavier and darker, becomes our energy. And even that, I don't know if it's heavier or darker. Maybe my energy is heavier or darker, but let's assume that it is. So that's the way. Let go of convincing, converting other people, and go to P, protecting and praying. Prayer is really amazing tool. And by that, I don't mean religious prayer. I just say, may you feel peace, because anybody that says that, that they themselves are so-called intruders, there must be some self-disliking there. When I dislike myself, then I attack my kind. You know, self-hating, whatever, they're everywhere. So what can I say? Protection and prayer.
Thank you. That's a
Thank you.
great story, and seems to run along the same lines that I've been feeling is the willingness in that story, the willingness to stand up, and you know, if there's no capital T truth, stand up for what seems right,
Yes.
and also not allow people to, you know, infringe on who I am or my, you know, I don't know how to say it anyway. What's important to me?
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm feeling more and more willing to say, yeah, don't please don't say that, or you know, that isn't going well with me, or saying something to the moment.
Yeah. And saying it for the purpose of not convincing them, say it for purpose of representing me and my truth, because it really was harming me. I just couldn't, especially at time of eating, which energy needs to be so open. It's like I'm just not gonna, I'm not gonna pretend this is okay.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to pretend this is okay. Perfectly said. Thank you.
But the intention of that is very important, because people do that because they want to win the argument. That wasn't present for me last week. For me was to really represent me, not win the argument from them. It was like, I just have to say this and be okay with the consequences. Very okay. When they left early, I mean, they didn't leave like from the table. The lunch finished and they left. And Henry came to me and said, are you okay? I said, I'm very okay. I actually was hoping that they would do that. It was the best thing to do. And they thanked me in a text, and I didn't answer except a heart on what they have said. I didn't have, usually I would say, you're welcome. It was a great time. But no, I'm going to live with my truth. It wasn't a great time. It was a great lesson, but it wasn't a great time. So I'm not gonna pretend, and that truthfulness is so important right now. The masks that we have created, which is part of this conspiracy that we're living in, it needs to come off. I'm not gonna pretend I'm okay with this, but I'm not gonna convert you either. I mean, you're welcome to your way of living, but I'm also welcoming myself to my way of living. It's a shift, subtle shift, but fundamental shift. And what happens is, which has been happening in my life, I'm very selective about who I am with and who I spend my time with. Very selective. You won't believe how many invitations I say no to. And gradually, when I say 10 no's, I go off the list happily. Happily. Yeah. And that's okay. I prefer to see one person per week that is meaningful than see 80 people per week that are just either harmful or not meaningful. So, and that was my lesson. I did this invitation not from my heart. The people that I invited, it wasn't from my heart. It was from duty. The blood thing. It's your cousin. They got married. Blah, blah, blah. You should meet them. I said, okay, I'll invite them. But I wasn't from my heart. It wasn't like, oh, good. Sheila and Mark are coming. It wasn't that. It was like, oh, good. Okay, I'll invite them. Maybe next week. It was just like that. So I'm learning. We're all learning. And a new life. This is very new life. I want you to understand how new this life is. Because we're in it, we don't realize it. We're changing and we need to have the new ways with this huge change that is happening. We really need new ways, new tools, new awareness, new consciousness to be okay with these new everything. So. Yeah. All right. Any more shares? If not, we can just meditate. Let's go and finish our session with a meditation. Maybe that's what we need. So let us arrive again, arrive back in our bodies. We took a lot in. And I want you to just be very gentle with taking in. Some discussions may have provoked you. Some discussions may have invoked something in you. Just hold the space. And bring to your awareness your imagined capacity, meaning give it a shape. What is your capacity right now? Is it a cup, a pool? A river, a sea, an ocean, or anywhere in between. Give it a shape or a name. And before we move on, I want you to just notice how you're feeling right now. Notice what's present for you, what's difficult for you, what's interesting for you from all the shares that we generously received from our community today. How did it sit with you, so to speak? And now I want you to go to the shape of your capacity. And whatever it was that you identified your capacity in this moment, I want you, using your imagination, see your capacity expanding and extending to the next level. So if it was a cup, take it to a ball. If it was a ball, take it to a pool. If it was a pool, take it to something, whatever your imagination says, but something that holds far more than what you're holding right now. And just notice when you imagine a larger capacity, if you've been able to do it, how do you hold your experience differently? So, how do you feel about what you heard today if you're in a larger capacity? Basically, we're taking it to the whole mind. A larger, bigger, vaster aspect of our experience is available to us in this space. So this picture of a larger capacity, this imagination, is a helpful tool for when we feel stuck or in a difficult place. How can I take it to the next level? And how can I eventually go oceanic? An ocean can hold everything without changing its nature or its rhythm. Just imagine how your life can be with a larger capacity, no matter what you're dealing with right now. How do I live differently when I have much, much larger capacity? What is your larger capacity that is helpful right now? Take a photo of that with the camera of your mind. And let's bring that photo with us. As a reminder that a larger capacity is available to us at any given moment. And any time that we feel stuck, or we feel anxious, or sad, or mad, the question of larger capacity immediately relieves and releases the tension. So now, before opening your eyes, I want you to examine how you are holding the experience of today if it is different than when I asked you a few minutes ago? Let's take a deep and conscious and grateful breath together and come back to the room. So, thank you for sharing. Thank you for your presence. Anything anybody wants to share? We have a few minutes. If not, we
I've
can
got to.
certainly.
I got to share this one. Wow. At first, I saw a little, like just a glass bowl, and it was kind of medium sized. And then when you said increase the capacity, I saw one of those, like the Tibetan footballs. Okay. And I realized, like with the small bowl, water was going in, but it kept going out. Okay. And then when I stepped into the Tibetan bowl, the issue, like my feet were the problem, okay? And when I stepped in, it caused it to overflow because I was letting too much of that, the problem in. And then I went to a pool, the next thing. And I saw myself jumping in the pool, and all of a sudden I realized, okay, this isn't overflowing because it has filters and it has drainage and it's taking away that shouldn't be there. And so it just really made me just come to a more peaceful place, because what I realized was I was putting my feet in a place that I didn't have the capacity to deal with. And so then in the pool, I felt like, oh, this is like, yeah, and that's what I've been doing, is like, using those filters and that drainage system to let it take, let it take away that the things aren't that big as what I was letting them get to. Yeah.
It's the story of Chris's dog. You arrive and you think it's not that big. I thought, like, in my mind, but then it's not that big.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing, Nikki.
Yeah, that was like
So
yeah.
remember the pool
I remember to pull the filter system, and
and
that's
the
our
filters.
choice. That's our choice. We let it filter, as long as those filters are working and the drainage system is working, because if we let it get plugged up, it ain't gonna work.
So
So,
true. So true.
yeah.
Thank
Yeah.
you. Thank you for
So.
sharing. I remember having this discussion. I just remembered, Chris. Go Oceanic. Remember that? It was almost 10 years ago, 12 years ago. You were in my office and we talked about capacity. It just came to me when I was doing it. And I said, Chris, go Oceanic. And you remembered that. So, yeah, I've been
Yeah.
trying to go Oceanic ever since.
I think about that all the time. I use that all the time. Thank you.
Thank
Yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Hello, Minu. Did you want to say something? I saw some hand and then she disappeared, I think.
Yes.
Hi, Minu.
Hi, I had issue with my phone. I couldn't get on. But can I share my meditation, the last meditation?
Of course, go
Do we
ahead.
have a minute?
We
Okay.
always leave time.
I became an octopus when you said to go and make the capacity bigger. But then that octopus was in the ocean when you said to do the ocean and go to the ocean. The octopus was in the ocean, but the ocean was not enough. I needed more capacity. So
Wow.
the head of the octopus was the globe. And so it was like moving back and forth, that the hands, the arms would hold the globe, or the globe was the head and was holding the arms. I don't know which one it was, but it was like my heartbeat was going up, and I don't know how to explain how can be that large capacity, and what can I do if I to get there? It was amazing. Ocean was not enough, and the globe was like there. That's what I wanted.
And it's funny you're asking
Is
me.
that
You're the
even
one who went there. You obviously know what to do. You're asking me that I've never imagined. It's like, what do I know? But you obviously went there. What did you do? You imagined. And look how fresh
Oh my
you
God. Is that even possible with that capacity? And
I
then
just
you
made it
said with
possible.
that capacity, you release and you relieve the tensions whenever something happens. But I want to be in that capacity without tension and without any tension. I want to live there. That's where I want to live there. So there will be no tension to relieve and release.
Okay, that may be, I put my teacher's hat on. That may be an expectation that may disappoint you. We can't stop the tension to not be there. We cannot stop it. What did I say? We can't expect the tension not to be there. That's what I meant. So it's not that removal of tension that it's our aim, because that's an impossibility and it's a task that will disappoint you. But if I don't let it in, is a different story. Do you know what I'm saying? Like if I say I don't want any sadness in
Lower.
this world, I cannot do
Right,
that.
right.
But I can say I want to be different when I'm exposed to the sadness of the world. I can do that. That's in my command. Removal of sadness and tension is not. So focus on exactly what you did. You use your imagination. It's not anything I did. It's funny, you did it and you're asking me how to do it. I want to learn from you how you did it. So it's imagination. You imagine. So think about what is the opposite of that would do. Jennifer was talking about anxiety. Okay. It's exactly opposite of what Jennifer did when she was anxious. So something happens, whatever, and ball drops. Okay. I think, oh my God, what if? And I imagine something. So worrying, I always say, I've said it, it's an imagination, right? Except it's an imagination based on fear. What you just did, you did the same things. You probably thought about a problem or tension. And then you use your imagination to go to the other side. And you said, what if this is happening, but I have a different capacity? I have the globe as my head. Even ocean isn't enough for me. I mean, you went all the way. Okay? You used your imagination, Minu. Use it for the right reason. Don't use it to frighten yourself further. Use it to increase your capacity. I think you know what to do. I'm going to copy yours and go oceanic.
It
So
was
I'm tense.
amazing. It was amazing. Go global.
Go oceanic, go global, go octopus. There's a documentary called Life of an Octopus. I don't know if you guys seen it. It's the most beautiful. You can never
Yes.
ever eat that animal if you see this documentary. Like that went off my seafood list, but it's just so beautiful. The consciousness of these animals that we just don't know about. So it's interesting. It's very symbolic. I recommend you go and watch that documentary because you will love it. The man fell in love with this octopus that he was filming.
And since then I was always scared of octopus, but when even just feeling of it, and now after I watched that movie, I am like, oh my God, I feel like I am an octopus many times. And this globe in my head, the head of octopus was amazing. Wow, very good. Yep, I should watch that movie again.
Yes,
I
and
never
write the
watched it.
formula for
Thank
us
you,
too.
Richard.
How do we do that? That's a good point of reference. Isn't that funny? She just does it and she says, Mitra, how do I do it? It's like, what?
Thank
I just did didn't. You're asking me to
That made my
do
day.
it. I don't know. I'm gonna copy you. I'm gonna do that. It's a like oceanic. So, anyways, great to see you guys. I'll see you in third
Thank
week of
you.
September. And we have a 16th of September pod meeting that Nikki is going to lead. Please be on the lookout. And I send it out in the last email that I send out, but I'm sure Nikki will send a reminder in the chat. Good to see you guys. Let's unmute and say goodbye. Bye.
Goodbye, everybody. Thank
Everyone,
you.
have a
Thank you.
great day. Have a
Thank
great
you.
Labor
Thank
Day.
you.
Bye. Bye-bye. Take
Thank you
care.
very much.